Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. I am today, and have been for many years, an avid reader of editorial pages of some of our daily newspapers. That includes letters to the editor. I have found many of the editorials, especially in the Jackson Sun and in the Tennessean, to be very, very helpful, almost infallible guides. I read the editorials in these two newspapers and then take the opposite view, knowing that I will almost invariably be right. Fortunately, some of the letters to the editor counteract the errors promoted by the editors. But some of the letters are just as far off as are the editorials. I want to review one letter in the latter category today. The Tennessean, in September 1993, printed a letter from a man who identified himself as Reverend Horace Griffin. In the first place, it amazes me that a humble servant of our Lord Jesus Christ, or one who claims to be, should be so pompous as to call himself or allow himself to be called Reverend. How can preachers and theologians arrogate to themselves titles which should be used of deity alone? Psalm 111:9 says, He sent redemption unto his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. Until preachers reach the point they can send redemption and can command the covenant forever, they should reject such exalted titles. The letter to the editor by Horace Griffin is fairly short, so I want to read it in its entirety. Please listen carefully to this letter. Considering the many issues that face our community today, I was disturbed to read the front page story of the September 5th Tennessean about a group of Christians spending precious time attempting to change the sexuality of lesbians and gays. They claim to be inspired by the Bible. Yet we must not forget that the Bible has been used throughout history to oppress people. As an African American, I am reminded of the use of Genesis 9:25-27 and Ephesians 6:5 to justify the enslavement of and discrimination against African Americans. Why do these biblical literalists feel so inspired to convert and to confuse homosexuals, when Jesus did not even mention homosexuality in the Gospels? I think our community would be better served by seminars on race relations, the problems of crime and teen pregnancy, issues which desperately need our attention. Instead, these concerned Christians wish to perpetuate a message of discrimination in the name of God. My friends, it is my intention to examine every assertion Horace Griffin made about those who would convert lesbians and male homosexuals. Not because his assertions are reasonable or biblical, but because we often hear these sentiments. If you have questions or comments about today's lesson, please get in touch with me. If anyone would like to discuss these matters publicly, I extend to you a firm invitation to do so. Horace Griffin does not explain his religious affiliation. I get the impression he is probably not a fundamentalist or an evangelical. He almost certainly would not have used some of the language he did if he belonged in either of these conservative groups. Since I do not know his denominational background, I cannot be accused of attacking another religious group, although I can assure you that I believe I am obligated to refute all false teachings, regardless of their origin or of the sincerity of those who espouse these false ideas. Considering the many issues that face our community today, Mr. Griffin says, I was disturbed to read the front page story in the September 5th Tennessean about a group of Christians spending precious time attempting to change the sexuality of lesbians and gays. I wholeheartedly agree that there are many issues facing our community today. Is homosexuality not one of those issues? Let me remind Mr. Griffin and all the rest of us about the so-called gay lifestyle. Male homosexuality and lesbianism are clearly sinful. Paul accused the Gentiles of changing the truth of God into a lie and worshiping and serving the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. For this cause, God gave them up to vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Romans 1:25-27. If God has such strong opposition to male homosexuality and to lesbianism, how can anyone who calls himself a Christian have a different view of these abominable practices? I ask you to notice how Paul, an inspired apostle, classifies homosexuality. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. There are two sins in this long list which need to be examined carefully: effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind. Effeminate comes from the Greek molokoi and refers to a man who allows himself to be used in a sexual relationship as a woman, technically a catamite. The expression abusers of themselves with mankind is from a Greek word which literally means a male bedfellow, a man who goes to bed with another man, technically a sodomite. Now let me ask you a very important question. Do fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, thieves, covetous people, drunkards, revilers, and extortioners need converting? Can these people be saved unless they repent of these grievous sins and seek forgiveness in the heart of our gracious God? You cannot be unaware of the biblical answer to that question. Since Paul classifies lesbianism and male homosexuality with drunkenness, covetousness, adultery, and such sins, how can we make a distinction among these sins and insist that homosexuals do not need converting? Paul teaches that men and women who engage in these sins shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Why anyone who calls himself a Christian should have any doubt about the necessity of converting all sinners, including homosexuals, to Jesus Christ is beyond understanding. Unrepentant lesbians and homosexuals are not going to heaven. Do you not love such sinners enough to help them change their rebellion against God and come into His kingdom and inherit the eternal kingdom? Christians who work for the conversion of homosexuals are the ones who really love them. Not men like Horace Griffin, who does not want Christians spending their precious time in attempting to change homosexuals. It is clear beyond question that Paul did not share Horace Griffin's view of converting homosexuals to Christ. After listing the heinous deeds of the Corinthians, adultery, fornication, theft, and so on, Paul said, "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." 1 Corinthians 6:11. Considering the many issues that faced the first century, did Paul spend his precious time in attempting to change the sexuality of lesbians and male homosexuals? My friends, you know he did. Not only was there an attempt made to change their sexual behavior, it was successful. They were washed in the blood of Christ, set apart from such immoral practices, and justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke explains exactly what happened in the city of Corinth. Paul went into Corinth and reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He preached that Jesus is the Christ. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Acts 18:4-8. When sinners hear God's word, believe on our Lord Jesus Christ, turn away from their sinful practices, and are baptized into Christ, their sins are forgiven. All sins, including homosexuality. Paul described those who had obeyed the gospel at Corinth as being washed, sanctified, and justified. 1 Corinthians 6:11. Horace Griffin implies that attempting to convert homosexuals is wasting our precious time. Is it because homosexuals cannot be converted? You know better than that if you listen to my reading of 1 Corinthians 6:9-11. Is he saying that homosexuals are not worth converting? Jesus Christ shed his precious blood for homosexual sinners just as much as for heterosexual sinners. Christ invites all men and women, including lesbians and male homosexuals, to come unto him for the forgiveness of sins and for rest. Matthew 11:28-30. He demands that all sinners change their minds towards sin and change their lives and obey his will as revealed in the Bible. Is Horace Griffin arguing that homosexuals do not need converting? That homosexuality is not a sin? If that is his contention, and it seems to be, he has chosen to ignore or not to believe the simple and powerful truth about homosexuality. That homosexuality is always sin, and that homosexuals are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Griffin says that those who try to convert homosexuals claim to be inspired by the Bible. Are Christians who attempt to convert homosexuals inspired or motivated by the Bible? If they are not, they are wasting their time and the time of homosexuals. There is no other way for men to be converted than by following the teachings of the Bible. After all, Paul insisted that the gospel is God's power unto salvation. Romans 1:16. James said, "Wherefore lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." James 1:21. The Bible commands Christians to teach the lost, to use God's holy book to show men the way of salvation. Only God's book provides the motivation and the way to convert sinners to Christ. Why should a preacher be surprised at that? Horace Griffin reminds us that the Bible has been used throughout history to oppress people. And what is that observation supposed to mean? If I preach the Bible's teaching on homosexuality, and I do, and intend to keep on doing it, how can I be accused of oppressing homosexuals? I also preach the truth of God's word on adultery, drunkenness, theft, covetousness, extortion, lying, backbiting, and idolatry. When I do that, am I guilty of oppressing those who are engaged in these sins? Or is Horace Griffin teaching that homosexuality is not a sin? The real oppressor is the devil, who is trying to convince Christians, including preachers and theologians, that homosexuality is not sin and will not condemn homosexuals to eternal punishment. Please listen again to Horace Griffin's statements. "As an African American, I am reminded of the use of Genesis 9:25-27 and Ephesians 6:5 to justify enslavement of and discrimination against African Americans." Is Horace Griffin putting homosexuality and racism in the same category? The Bible unquestionably condemns homosexual practices, always, everywhere, under all circumstances, regardless of the motivation. How can I be accused of discrimination when I preach against homosexuality? What God opposes, I must oppose. I must not go beyond revelation, but I am not doing so when I condemn sexual perversion. It is true, as Mr. Griffin says, that many preachers and others have used the Bible to uphold racial discrimination. Those of you who listen to this program regularly know how strongly I preach against racial, social, financial, and other forms of discrimination. I have pointed out on many occasions that James calls discrimination sin. James 2:9. But am I discriminating against homosexuals when I preach that it is a sin, always sin? Yes, it is a form of discrimination, but it is a legitimate form. Christians must learn to discriminate between good and evil. Hebrews 5:14. Homosexuality is always evil. Always evil. Horace Griffin asks, why do these biblical literalists feel so inspired to convert and to confuse homosexuals when Jesus did not mention homosexuality in the Gospels? Unfortunately, homosexual apologists are not the only ones who use this unreasonable approach. Incidentally, what is a biblical literalist? Is he one who believes the Bible to be the literal word of Almighty God? If that is what the expression means, I readily confess that I belong in that category. I believe all the Bible teaches, from Genesis to Revelation. I accept as literally true that homosexuals are not going to inherit the kingdom of God. If what the Bible teaches about homosexuality is not true, how do you know what parts of the Bible are true? Does the Bible really mean it when it teaches that fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, thieves, and drunkards are not going to heaven? Who gave us the authority to decide which parts of the Bible are true and which parts are not? Do you see the danger in Horace Griffin's approach to God's inspired book? Did Jesus Christ say anything about homosexuality? If Mr. Griffin means that Jesus never used the Greek word for homosexuality, of course he is correct. So what does that prove? My friends, our Lord Jesus Christ never one time talked specifically about child abuse, spouse abuse, incest, rape, bestiality, sadomasochism, infanticide, euthanasia, surrogate mothering, eugenics, abortion, or gambling. Is it possible he set forth principles which condemn homosexuality? In his discussion with the Pharisees, Jesus said, have you not read that he which made us at the beginning made us male and female? Matthew 19:4. Does the fact that Jesus made only male and female, not a third sex, have any bearing on what God expects in the area of sexual relating? Christ was giving a pattern for human behavior. Male and female constitutes the sexual part of that pattern. Besides, when Paul wrote 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, and Jude wrote the book which bears his name, they were writing by the guidance of God's Holy Spirit. Please listen to what Christ promised his disciples. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. John 16:7-13. Did the Holy Spirit guide the apostles into all truth? When Paul and Jude strongly condemned homosexuality, were they revealing truth, or was it only their opinion that homosexuality was unnatural and would prevent the guilty from entering the kingdom of God? Do you understand just how serious Horace Griffin's vain imaginations are? Griffin not only supports gross immorality, he also undermines the authority of God's Word. Griffin thinks our community would be better served by seminars on race relations, the problems of crime and teen pregnancy, issues which desperately need our attention. The topics Horace Griffin mentioned, race relations, the problems of crime and teen pregnancy, are tremendously important. I have devoted a substantial portion of my life as a preacher and as a university professor to researching and preaching on these subjects, and intend to keep on speaking out on the evils of racism, crime, and teen pregnancy. But what does that have to do with speaking out on homosexuality and seeking to convert homosexuals to Jesus Christ? If I speak out against homosexuality, and I do, and intend to keep on doing it, does that limit in some way my ability to speak out on racism, premarital sex, gambling, and beverage alcohol? Paul said to the Ephesian elders, "Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Acts 20, 26 and 27. Is it possible to preach the whole counsel of God and not try to convert homosexuals to Christ? Paul certainly did not think he could do so. Horace Griffin closes his discussion by saying, "Instead, these concerned Christians wish to perpetuate a message of discrimination in the name of God. Faithful gospel preachers, at least the ones I know, are not seeking to perpetuate a message of discrimination when they preach against homosexuality. Of course, there is a sense in which we perpetuate discrimination. We follow the instructions of inspiration in preaching against and in strongly opposing all sin, not just homosexuality." Please listen carefully to these words from the Apostle Paul. "Be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and has given himself to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather give thanks. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you the children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret." Ephesians 5, 1 through 12. There are two expressions from this reading which deserve attention. The word fornication, porneia, refers to any and every form of sexual immorality. That includes homosexuality, as is evident from Jude 7. "Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire." If you listen to this reading, how could there ever be any question in your mind about the need to convert homosexuals? Unless they repent, they will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. In responding to Horace Griffin about homosexuality, we must not overlook what Paul says about what he calls the unfruitful works of darkness. He cautions the Ephesians not to have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Anyone who questions whether or not homosexuality belongs in the category of unfruitful works of darkness simply does not understand what the Scriptures say about fornication. Am I being a literalist in making these strong statements? Yes, I believe that fornication, all forms of fornication, deserves exposition and opposition. There is no way we can be faithful to God and do otherwise. Christians who speak out against homosexuality are discriminating against homosexuality, not homosexuals. Christians are required to discern or to discriminate between good and evil. If we fail to do so, we are immature Christians, or not Christians at all. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14. I have no greater desire to see homosexuals converted than I do to see fornicators, drunkards, and liars converted. They all stand under the condemnation of God. If we neglect to preach to all sinners, God will hold us accountable in the day of judgment. Is that not incentive enough to try to convert homosexuals? Besides, homosexuals are still the ones in our nation who are primarily responsible for spreading AIDS. If we are truly concerned about the welfare of our fellow men, we will want to curtail any activity which endangers so many of our citizens. But AIDS is not the only disease which is rampant in the homosexual community. So are genital herpes, hepatitis A, B, C, gonorrhea, syphilis, and dozens of other sexually transmitted diseases. In fact, before the advent of AIDS, doctors identified what they called gay bowel syndrome, which was widespread in homosexuals. From a purely physical viewpoint, we ought to want to help homosexuals change their sexual behavior. They are killing themselves and hundreds of thousands of others. But back to the question Horace Griffin raised. Why must Christians convert gays? Because they are sinners and will be lost if they do not repent of their perverted and abominable behavior. If we love all sinners, including homosexuals, and want them to be saved eternally, we must teach them the truth of God's Word. We must work to convert them to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John 1:29. I would be afraid and ashamed to do otherwise. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.